Hi, for those that don't know me, my name is Damien Turner-Smith. I come here with my lovely wife, Helena, and some beautiful children. We have six between us, so quite a bit of a tribe, and they range all the way through from 22 to 7, so there's lots of fun, excitement, and joy and happiness in our house, so yeah. Work, stress, yeah, you know. All the great things that come with having so many in our house. And sharing my testimony, I guess, I didn't know really where to begin, but I think context is important, you know. Where we come from speaks a lot about who we are and the journey and the story that we share. So I'll start telling a little bit about my parents. My mother, she grew up with my grandfather and grandmother, both went to university. He was a school teacher. Actually, anyone that went to Fielding Ag in the mid-60s might know Mr. Turner, if they ever did. And yeah, and my father, his parents, well, his parents were pretty colourful. His father was in the cocaine scene, dealing cocaine in Wellington, owned nightclubs, kind of in that Wellington scene. They met together at one of my grandfather's nightclubs, and so began their relationships, a relationship that evolved a lot around drugs and crime, a lot around gangs. My father was in and out of jail a lot. Finally, I think when I was about three, my mother decided that's enough. He'd gone to jail for a long time at that point, some armed robbery that went a bit wrong, and yeah. But then my mother met another man. This relationship probably started off fine. There's probably love, but it quickly deteriorated. He was physically abusive to her. He was physically abusive to me. I felt like I was living in a pit. You know, it was dark. It was cold. It was terrifying. Before I even knew who God was, I used to pray on the way home from school that he wasn't there. That I'd be home and it would be peaceful. But it wasn't. The darkness kept growing in our lives. Alcohol, drugs, crime, gangs. It was just everyday life. It was just normal life. And so this pit became my normal. This pit became my home. It became what I used to seek. Finally, probably when I was about 12, 13, my mother tried to break free of this man. We moved to Kapiti, and that's where my grandparents were at the time. At high school, I guess I wanted something different. I wanted a change, you know. I was looking around from the bottom of this pit and I noticed this rope and I just start to climb. I try to do well at school. I try to move forward and I kept climbing and climbing. It was actually a happy time, those teenage years, to some degree. I had friends. I was doing well. Then I began university. I even ended up getting myself, in my first year of university, I went and studied accounting, and I got myself an internship at PricewaterhouseCoopers. Then towards the end of that first year, my father, he had been out of jail for a while, and we'd started to build a relationship again. But in the end of that first year of university, he was investigated for murder. During this investigation, The police came into my workplace, not once but twice. My bosses knew why. There was stuff all around the media. It was quite well known in the Wellington area. All of a sudden, they didn't want to renew my contract. That was it. I just felt that I couldn't escape who my family was. Basically, I just went, well, I can't escape who my family was. I might as well join them. And that's when I just went back. I went back to that pit where it was safe and warm, where I knew the rules. I understood the rules. I didn't have to fight and to survive in that darkness. I knew how to handle it. So my 20s and 30s were spent on this path of drugs and crime. I destroyed relationships. My first wife I met, her parents were Christian, really faithful. They kept trying to witness to me, to try and show me a different way, to try and show me a different path. You know, at first I just didn't know why they persisted, why they kept going, why they kept trying. But it was a testimony to their faith. But they never saw what fruit became of that. But they still kept trying anyway. The drugs and crime started to whirlwind and get worse. It led to disconnection. It led to broken relationships. I was a drug dealer on the Kapiti Coast, and I had power, I had money. I thought I had everything I wanted. I had people all around me. But it was lonely. It was dark. I did terrible things. I hurt a lot of people. Eventually, it ended up in jail. I remember walking into the cell when I first went to jail, and my cellmate, he goes, "Hey, brother, good to see you. God has brought you in here for a reason." I went, "Oh." "They've locked me up with the crazy Christian dude." But we had so many chats during our time. So many chats about God, who that was, our lives, the differences that we wanted. It was during this time that, from the bottom of that pit, I noticed that rope again and I started to climb. That climb took time. It took a lot of work. I went to rehab through the Salvation Army. I spent time doing the rehabilitative courses in jail, keeping away from the criminal element in jail. That was hard, that was tough. You wouldn't know it, but I used to work out there. It's called a study belly now, yeah. When I got released, it was a difficult time. I hadn't used in 2.5, 3 years or something, 3 years maybe. So I was clean at the time, and I'd done the work. I'd done the rehab. I'd done the courses. I'd looked inwards into myself. I'd looked at my family history, where things came from. And I could smell the fresh air again. I could feel that sunlight. You know, I could feel the breeze on my face as I was climbing out of that pit. But when I got released, the call of the deep was there. It was calling back to me about how easy it was. And man, would it have been easy just to fall back in there, just to call up somebody to go, "Hey, What are you up to? Got any? Kidney? Wouldn't have taken long. My sister invited me to church. So I started going a few times. It was there that I met my wife. I still felt the urges, though. I still felt that desire to go back. But it was after about 6 weeks of attending that I just couldn't shake this feeling of wanting what the people around me had. There was just something different about the people that were there. I could feel the peace they had in their heart, the joy they had in their heart. That, as Nikki Gimbel calls it, the suspicious Christian smile. Yeah. I wanted that. I wanted that something new. It was in that moment that I finally climbed out of that pit. I climbed up that rope. When I got to the top, it was Jesus holding that rope. That whole time, it was him that was supporting me. It was him that was holding me as I climbed up and out of where I was. And at that point of surrender, that point where I gave my life fully and totally to him, was my addiction completely broken. I don't have urges. I don't have thoughts about it. I don't have the want. They teach you about relapse, and they teach you about, you know, counting the days, and they teach you about how there's urges and triggers and so forth that can pull you back. But these are secular teachings. But in Christ, he completely breaks those urges. He completely breaks that temptation in me. It is from this point on, I was a new creation. You know, Paul talks about that. Talks about that new creation. And he brought me up out of that horrible pit, out of the miry clay, to set my feet upon the rock. I was renewed, redeemed, reborn in Christ. Looking back, I think of Jeremiah 29, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and to not harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." It was God's plan to lift me out of that pit, to pull me up, to do his work. And so now, as I start on this journey of counselling, I'm in my final year, final semester. It's been a trek, I can tell you that, to do his work. To work with those people that are on the fringes, that are on the margins. To cross over into their world. To sit with them. Learn their experiences and help them to cross back into a world that's safe. I bought this. It's funny how when I reflect on my journey, it's funny how God inputted himself in all of these places throughout my life that I didn't even know really until I looked back. And I believe the first time, this is my first Bible for children. I got this, and there's a message in there. I got this when I was in, must have been 3, 1985. So thank you for calling me young, but you know. this was given to me by those same grandparents, one of whom was widely and famously known as the Witch of Wellington, and the other was a cocaine dealer. Yet, this is what they gave me when I was three. And I remember reading this when I was a kid. I remember there was, during the school holidays, my other grandparents, my mother's parents, they used to try and take me out of the situation that I was in. And they'd send me to Christian camps during the holidays, where, honestly, there's only two things I remember. I remember that song, Pharaoh, Pharaoh, ooh, baby, let my people go. I remember that. But I also remember the feeling of feeling safe there. Of feeling safe in that place. Also, when I was 13, there was a family behind us that went to church. They invited me to church, and I went there a few times. Again, I felt the love. I felt safe with them. Again, with my ex-wife's parents, the faithfulness that they showed. My mate in jail that was there, the conversations that we have, again, it's just those seeds that keep getting watered by God. And those people's faithfulness. And I guess one of the messages I want to bring to those, to people, to Christians, is don't underestimate how much light you bring. It's so easy for us to, as we congregate together, to not notice how bright we actually shine. And when we fellowship with each other, we may not see how bright we actually shine. But out there, they see it. They see us as lights. And they wonder, what is that? I want that. And so just know as you go out into that world, be that light. Shine bright. Thank you. Father, I just thank you, Lord. I thank you for my story, Lord, that actually it's your story. It's a story of your grace and mercy, of how you lifted me from that place of darkness into the light, as that song said today, into your glorious light. And Father, as we go out into the world today, that we shine bright and we be a witness to those in the world. And even though we may not see the fruit, that we water those seeds, we show people a different way. We show people the love, the peace, and the joy that sits in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.